In the book of Acts, chapter 3, about three verses of scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse number 19. Acts 3 and 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, when the heavens must receive, whom the heavens must receive, until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. May God add his blessing to those words. Of course, they are initially words spoken by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. But it just rings a bell with me today in what's happening in America. If I give you a title, I'm not very good at titles, but this one sounds pretty good to me. It's repentance time in America. It's repentance time in America. You know, I just look you over and I think you're all Americans. We are citizens of this great country. Man, and that just puts some pride in my heart. I'm glad to be an American. But there's something else that thrills me. We're Christians. We are members of the body of Christ. We are saved by the grace of God and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we are but pilgrims and strangers while we are sojourning here in America. For we have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be long, I'm convinced, until we shall be able to step from this terrestrial ball into the presence of God in the glories of heaven. Oh, glory. That's going to be great. But let me ask you a question. Where is the church in America? Our country has fallen headlong into sin. Drug abuse, pornography is everywhere. Murder and rape abound. The family unit has been destroyed. 53 million babies plus have been murdered for money in America. Little children have been tortured and abused. Perversion has become an alternate lifestyle. Almost all fear of God is gone from our nation and even from some churches. Every 2 seconds of violent crime is committed. 3 babies are aborted every minute. 56 people are murdered each day. And the question is, where is the church? Where is the church? Now, I hope you don't fall out with me lest you have to repent. And I want to tell you, it's time that we understand that our church has not been relevant to the needs of our country. Oh, it's not what Jesus had in mind. It's not what Jesus wanted the church to become. He himself built this church and set upon this rock of confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But what a tragedy that something has happened that we as Christians are not relative to the sins that are affecting our nation. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to be an American. But I'm a little bit dismayed at the results of the preaching of the gospel, of the living of the gospel that's taking place in America today. 9-year-old boy was eating his breakfast cereal, and he looked out the window and saw a child, a girl, on a snowmobile. He got up and went into the other room and got his father's shotgun and went out and shot the girl, came back in and sat down and ate his cereal. Pretty bad. But the value of life has disappeared from the minds of Americans. What has happened to the impact of the church? You know, these are the last days. If you haven't come to an awareness of that, you might as well wake up to it. These are the last days. And Paul said these are perilous times. Perilous times. Well, if I have to this morning, if the Spirit of God is so ordaining it, I'd like to get you out of your comfort zone. Amen. Move on, as Brother Cooper preached, a little bit further than you've been, and come to the realization we as a church are here for a purpose. We are here for a purpose. There is a need that God sees in our present society for the church to move out and make a difference. Make a difference. You see, if you know anything at all about what's going on, there is anarchy in the land. Not just in Africa, or not just in the United Kingdom, but there are signs on every hand of anarchy in America. We are about to see the unfolding of the end time ravages of lawlessness that will affect your life. It will affect you. It will affect your home. It will affect your church. Lawlessness. The authority of the government is nothing. And the authority of the preacher is being cast aside. And if you don't like a law, just break it. Anarchy. Just before Jesus comes. Just before we say goodbye. World, goodbye. Enter out of here. Apostasy. Apostasy. And Brother Cooper mentioned something about that too, you know. Just stopped and disappeared. I've often preached and said we need some hard shell Pentecostals. We need some hard shell holiness. I shall not be moved. I know in whom I have believed, and I am thoroughly persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. You might call me a novice. It's been 63 years since I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's just as real this morning as it's ever been. And the gospel is just as affluent in my thinking as it's ever been. And I know, hallelujah, that it's great and worth holding on to. Amen. It's high time that we realize, though the churches of the world are giving over to apostasy and also new versions of the Bible and discrediting the blood of Jesus, we will firmly stand for the truth of the gospel, the King James Version, the living Bible, and we will be true to God in living for God according to the dictates of this holy Bible. Oh, apostasy. Well, you don't need to speak in tongues anymore. You can get the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues. Didn't you know that? Well, really, prayer is not so important. Oh, give thanks over your food and lay me down to sleep, but where is the intercessor? Where is the intercessor? Something happened to our nation when something happened to our church. The lost art of the church is its prayerlessness. In fact, I think the greatest sin in the church today is its prayerlessness, its lack of calling upon Almighty God and seeking Him, until we've come to the place that even in some of our holiness churches, men will not endure sound doctrine. Will not endure sound doctrine. Preach anything you want to preach, but don't touch me. Don't step on my toes. Don't tell me I have sin. Don't tell me I am wrong. Apostasy abroad in the land. Turning from the truth to the fables that tickle the ear and satisfy the longing of the fleshly soul. These are the last days. Be careful. Be faithful. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but if He came this morning, are you all that you say you are and that you should be? What about it? You see, the third element here in the end time is our apathy. Really not too interested. We're getting along good. We got a nice church to go to, and we got a good preacher that preaches to us, and once in a while the Holy Ghost moves upon us, and as Brother Cooper said, we can shout two or three at a time or something like that, you know, and not a general move of God's Spirit. But apathy. Well, I know the country's a mess. I know there's sin on every hand. And I know that a bunch of the churches have already turned away from the truth of the gospel. But well, Jesus is coming, and we'll get out of here, and we'll escape all of this. Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But 1 John 2:5 says, love not the world. Love not the world. But there's so much comfort here. I mean, there's so many blessings. We in America, the poorest of us, are rich compared to the standards of the rest of the world. Well, you know, I heard a fellow say, well, I'm not really anxious to go to heaven. I've got it pretty good down here. Can I tell you, it's about to change? It's about to change in America. We're about to see persecutions, about to see deprivations. We're about to see this great nation that we're a part of turn the page and be a different nation than it's ever been. Amen. Out of our comfort zone. Oh, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. 2 Timothy 3:4-5. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Oh, it's kind of like a clarion call, a trumpet blast to the church in these days. You can't go on playing church. You can't go on with Pentecostal rituals. We cannot do it. Somehow we've got to make our Christianity relevant to our communities. Burst from the walls of our church into the streets, the highways and hedges, into the harvest fields, and let people know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God help us. Hardened hearts need to be broken open. Conviction. Give us an old time conviction, God. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Cooper had to say, but How long has it been since you really felt the conviction power of God so great in a service that a sinner would grab the back of the pew and his knuckles would turn white and then with a gasp he'd turn loose and run to the altars and fall prostrate in the presence of God and repent of his sin with tears staining the altar, with hearts washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, with a soul that's regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. I understand we're praying for revival. I understand we want a move of God in our midst. But I've got something to tell you. Repent. Repent. For there is no revival. There is no forgiveness unless there is repentance. You say, well, you don't understand. I've been a member of this church for years. Well, I've had the Holy Ghost for years. But how much repentance have we done? How much repentance have we done? You know, we've preached, some of us preachers, I guess, some preachers somewhere, just confess Jesus with your lips and believe in your heart and it's done. But that's not really what the Bible teaches. You can't believe today and repent tomorrow. People have to repent today if they're going to believe today. You can't repent without believing. Really, you can't believe without repenting. It's got to be done. And I believe it's time for America to repent. Repentance is the only way for those who are taken captive by the devil. I don't know whether you're blind or not, but the devil has taken over the God of this world, crippling the church, binding the church, confining the church, until we're not relevant to our communities. And America is falling prey to the powers of darkness. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may, listen, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, Leonard Ravenhill said, we don't wrestle anymore. We don't wrestle against the powers of darkness. The devil has a pushover effect on us. Oh yeah, once in a while we get energized by a Holy Ghost service or something, but the adversary has invaded the territory of the church. I believe that greater is he that is in the church than he that is in the world. But how about staying full of the Holy Ghost? How about every day that goes by, you get alone with God and the Spirit of God prays through you, speaking a language you've not learned, to edify you and to strengthen the church, and to let the power of the Holy Ghost have full effect in the midst of God's people. Oh, repentance, because of this easy believism that is in the church today, a whole generation of young people are double-minded. You don't have to go all the way out. You don't have to give God everything. You can reserve some things for yourself. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Now, as far as I know, the interpretation of that has always been, come on to the altar. and put it all there and say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. And it's not just a song that we sing at youth camp or somewhere, but Lord, we give you our life. And maybe some of us older folks need to remember what it was when the Spirit of God dealt with us. But I've got it so comfortable. I've got this good bank account and this 401k, and I'm driving a Cadillac, and not a Mustang, driving a Cadillac. Amen. And I've just got everything I want. I've got that nice brick house. No. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I don't want to be double-minded about it. I don't want to live for Jesus one time and not the next time. And I don't want to say yes, Jesus, one time and no, Jesus, the next time. But at the altar of God, I want to lay my life there. I don't want to be double-minded. As a result of this, we have a generation, and I'm afraid a church full of worldly children of God. Where do you fit in? You know, God's going to send the sifting to the church. He always does. And really, the church needs to repent. Do you ever tell a lie? Did you repent of it? Or did you tuck it back in there and just go on? Did you ever show hatred towards somebody? And did you repent of it? Or did you stick it back in there and go on? Were you ever jealous or envious? Somebody in the church or somebody out of the church or some preacher? Did you repent of it? Or is it? What about it? Did you ever lust in this sinful world that we're living in, this sex-crazed society? Did you hit the altar before you could ever get to an altar? Repent and say, God, wash me in the freshest blood of the Lamb? Or did you just stick it in there and go on? If he regards iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. If we have not repented of our sin, if we have not, what about wrath and anger and doubting and what's going on in the church? Maybe there's something in your heart and your life that has caused bitterness in your life. You're hanging on to that bitterness. Have you repented? Repent. Have you recently counted the cost? Remember, God did call you. Well, not everybody to preach the gospel, but everybody to go with the gospel. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? It's important. Have you repented of your idleness? Have you repented of your timidity with the gospel? Have you? Are we really dead to sin and alive to God? And that's sanctification. We wholeness folks, we believe in sanctification. I personally believe in continuous sanctification every day of our life. Amen. And sanctification is death to sin. Woo! Sin shall not have dominion over you. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alive unto God, because he lives, we shall live also. But not just in eternity. Here in the midst of a sinful, ungodly generation, we'll shine as bright lights for the glory of God. For ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Come on, church. Are you fulfilling God's plan? God's call for your life? Is there some hesitancy on your part? Repent. It's time for America to repent. What have you done for God since you got saved? Somebody coined the phrase, what in this world are you doing for heaven's sake? What are you doing for heaven's sake? Not for your own sake. Not for your own blessing and your own benefit. What are you doing for heaven's sake? For the reaping of the harvest. What has God said to believers? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Now, I struggled with this message in the night, and I don't hesitate to ask you, examine yourself this morning. I don't care who you are. Examine yourself this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, I'll just let you know, I'm looking for Jesus to come. But heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. And sin, unconfessed, unrepented of sin, sin can never enter there. All within its gates are pure, from defilement kept secure. Sin can never enter there. Write it down. If you never hear it again, you have been told this morning, God is saying, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Judge yourself. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, is that you? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you ashamed of holiness? Are you ashamed of the legacy that God has given us in the holiness church through the years? Come on, repent. Repent. God, help us to stand in your presence, to receive your admonition, to file in your altars, and make our preparation for eternity. What does Jesus say to the church today? You know, the first and the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus, he says, remember, remember that from which thou art fallen, repent. To Pergamos, he said, repent or else. And to Thyatira, except thou repent. Every one of these churches that I'm mentioning, repent. Sardis, remember, repent. Laodicea, be zealous and repent. Woo! Man, talk about a camp meeting. Talk about a revival. Talk about a move of God. If we could just do some repenting in the presence of the Lord. And brother, what a difference it would make in our nation. When the church began to repent, for the word of God says that judgment must begin in the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Is God through with America? Is it too late for revival? Repent. Repent. You know, many times things have to get bad, really bad, before people line up with God. In fact, I've said it, and maybe I sound like a prophet of gloom, but I've often said it may take a depression to get the church back to God. You see, there's some older folks here, and I guess we're kind of like the older folks that grieved over the building of a temple, and it's nothing like the former glory. And maybe we're that way, but we were born in the fire, and the smoke won't do. It's going to take more than a shout. And I love to shout. It's going to take more than just a good, exciting service and then going home, as the brother said, and say we had a good service. It's going to take some heart searching. It's going to take some repentance. It's going to take some coming clean with God. It's going to take some judging of ourselves before the Lord to abandon our pride and to abandon our positions and just throw ourselves prostrate before Almighty God and repent in the presence of the Lord, no longer trusting in worldly treasures, no longer depending on the arm of flesh. Now I'm quitting. God is beginning to judge America. I really believe, if you don't see this, that you may not go to heaven. You're so wrapped up in this world. But God is beginning to judge America. Corruption is being exposed in the church and in the world and the country. The church needs to fast and pray until the Lord will say, enough is enough. We're going to topple the powers of sin. The church is going to rise up. The church is going to be fruitful. The church is going to be relevant. The church is going to break forth from its walls. It's going to go out from the good services, the great Pentecostal times. And it's going to find the lost and the dying. And it's going to reap the harvest for the glory of God. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to one evangelist and said, the days of taking a scythe or scythe and reaping the harvest, it's over. It's combine time. It's later than we think. And the hour of the reaping is upon us. In every conscious moment, we should be concerned about fulfilling the gospel of Jesus Christ. God help us. Christ is coming. One more question. Will you be ready? And will he say in that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I could have done something different. I could have repented and cleaned up my act. And I might have done something to help save America and turn it back to Almighty God. At any rate, it's repentance time in America, and it begins in the house of God.